Welcome to Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter at iGuestInfo. Send us your questions and we'll try to answer. Now enjoy the show.
Well, thanks for tuning in today. We have another great show. I love to bring you the things that are my favorite things, things that I love, and most of the time that is in the Seattle area or around Seattle. And today we have three of my favorite things. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to the Pike Place Fish Guys. I love Pike Place Markets, one of the places I hang out all the time. They have great music, great food, really the soul, kind of the center of Seattle for me. They have a new cookbook. You've probably seen them. They've been doing their rounds. They've been on the Today Show, Good Morning America, NPR, Sirius Radio. They've been everywhere. If you're familiar with Pike Place Market at all, these guys are just legends down there. They put on a great show, and they have great, great seafood down there, and they also have a environmental conscience, and we're going to talk to them about that. And then, of course, another big thing in Seattle is the Seattle music. I can't get that out enough to people how great the music is in Seattle. It's just a great music city. There's a lot of wonderful things going on. Hip-hop has been on the radar lately with the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis success. There's a lot of great young hip-hop artists in Seattle. We're going to bring you one of them today. And then another one of my favorite bands in Seattle, Millfrog, they're going to be on with us at the half hour. And they're also doing some great things. And, again, I just love people who have a great spirit, a kind soul, are caring about their fellow human people on the journey with us through this life experience. And all of these people that we're going to talk to today share that same concern. And the first person that we're going to bring up, Micah Massey, he is known in the Seattle area as M-Deuce. I like to say Micah is hip-hop with a heart. And he has some great songs. We're going to go through some of those songs here in this first half hour. I'm going to introduce you to Micah. He's a wonderful guy. I think you're going to like him too. Micah, thank you for coming on with us today.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me, Lori. How are you doing today?
It's great. Micah is part of a two-man team. And so Micah is an artist and songwriter. We know him here in Seattle as M-Deuce. And his producer-songwriter co-conspirator is James Gregory Jr. You've been doing music together since 2007, but you've known each other for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. It's a really crazy story. We were great friends when we were about 7 years old. We lived across from each other and kind of lead on each other because when the home stuff wasn't going too well, you know, we confided in each other and became really great friends. But when our families moved, we lost touch of each other and ran back into each other when I was about 17 years old and saw him real quick, and that was that. And then ran back into him in 2007, and he was doing music. And I actually had stopped doing music for a while. I don't know if you're familiar. I was in a group called Mob Tight Hustlers and Two Tight. And I had stopped doing music with my group and had focused on my family and whatnot. And I ended up hooking back up with James Gregory in 2007, and he was doing music, and it was brilliant. So we just clicked off, hit it right back on where we left off as children. And to this day, we're pretty much best friends, and he's the only producer that has released any music for me at this point. And that's how I'm planning to keep it. We'll see if things change, but right now, that's how we're doing it.
What is your impression of the hip-hop scene in Seattle right now?
In Seattle right now, the good thing about Seattle is, like, the people, it's so diverse. There's not a stamp on Seattle, you know. I love what Macklemore is doing. Much love to Macklemore and his success, you know. He's got great messages in his music, and he's touched a lot of people, which is great. You know, I respect that man's work hard, so much love to what he's doing. And there's so many different types of rap out here that's doing great, and that's what I like about this city. You can come here, and one type of rap is not the same as the next, like all our music, you know. So that's what I love about it, diversity.
Well, the thing is, there's such a great energy in Seattle, And
oh, yeah.
I don't, you know, if there, I'm sure there's negativity somewhere, but I'm really not experiencing it. I am feeling really great energy almost all of the time. I love it. It's infectious. I'm downtown a lot. And everybody, there's so much music and art and people just kind of being friendly. And, you know, you have your, you know, your spicy people too. But, you know, there's flavor in that as well. But I love diversity. I'm glad that you guys are capitalizing off of that.
Well, it's a melting pot, you know, and the world's diverse. I don't want to just, you know, stick in Seattle. I want the world to hear this message, you know what I mean? So in order for that to happen, you have to be diverse, you know, and that's where I come from as a human being, and I want to share that.
Oh, exactly. Well, one of your big songs, and you have three of them that we're going to try to get through of them today that I want to get people out, but is one that you wrote for your mother, and, of course, as a mother, that resonated with me, and, of course, I automatically gave you props right there for that because all of us mothers, we love to be recognized, and it's called Number One Fan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and you wrote that, right?
Yeah, correct, I did. It's called My Number One Fan, and the title speaks for itself, but, you know, my mother is the backbone of me. She, you know, my father wasn't around when I was young, and, you know, my mother stuck with me through hard times. You know, I wasn't the best of child when I was younger, and we went through a lot of things. You know, I lost a sister when I was three, and I was born with a birth defect and lived in the hospital for a year when I was three. I wasn't supposed to make it. So, you know, we're really close, and I put that woman through, excuse me, hell when I was younger, and I only felt right that to let her know what I did was wrong, you know, and to respect my mother for what she did do for me instead of looking for what I didn't have. You know, I had a mother to care for me, you know, and that's a blessing to me. So all I could do, I grew up and told my mother what I should have been telling her my whole life. And so that's what that song meant to me, you know, so.
Well, it's a beautiful song, and if people go to YouTube and check out the video, it's also shot in Seattle. There's some beautiful scenery in Seattle. You used a lot of Seattle as a backdrop in that video.
Yeah, and, I'd like to give a shout-out to Ryan Kirk, who shot the video at GatorVision.com. He's doing some work with a lot of people around here. He shot, I think, Nacho Picasso's last video, but he's a good friend. So he shot that video. I just wanted to shoot him out for that because he did a great job.
Well,
and it just broke a million views, too. So
he did do a good job, and it's a beautiful song. And is that your mother in the video?
Yeah, that's my mother. That's my mother. Beautiful lady. Hi, Mom. I'm sure she's probably listening. Hello. I love you.
She is
Hello,
a beautiful
Grandpa,
lady.
Grandma.
Well, it sounds like you have a great family. And let's not hold it up anymore. Let's let everyone listen to it and love it the way that I love it. And we will be right back. And you can listen to Micah M. Deuce here in Seattle and now around the world. And this song he wrote for his mother. Going out to all mothers today, My Number One Fan. We will be right back with M. Deuce.
All right. Yes.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily, but by enemies, you took care of me.
You look good in the mirror, you made sure I was happy, not sad.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily, but by enemies, you took care of me.
You don't think I forgot, you're my number one fan, and my love don't stop. Single mother, baby boy, where shall I begin? I guess nowadays it's pretty normal for a lot of kids. We didn't have much, it didn't mean much that we didn't. Had fun on every birthday and blessed at every Christmas. The way I came in the world for you, I guess was crazy. Premature birth defect, didn't know if I would make it. That must have been hard, we were both left scarred. Physically for me, plus all the pain in your heart. A struggle from the start, but I wouldn't change a thing. It made me stronger as a man with the lessons that it brings. Taught me to be generous, be caring, and stay humble. Extend and lend a hand if you see someone in trouble. Don't mumble, express with confidence. Was never shy as a kid, not all coincidence. So now I take my pen and tell you what I should have done. Thanks for everything you do, you're my mother and my friend.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily, but by enemies, you took care of me.
You look good in the man, you made sure I was happy, not sad.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily, but by enemies, you took care of me.
You're my number one fan and my love don't stop.
See this one here, yeah, for my number one fan. From the days of break dancing to the basketball stands, you were always proud of your little man. Now that I got kids of my own, see I understand the love you had. I know that God has a plan, I know I have worth. Even how you had me, not your typical birth. See, I'm proud that you're my mom, and I'm so proud to be your son. Thanks for all that you have done. In my book, you're number one. With no man to lend a hand, except for your own dad. Emotions that you felt must have been crazy and sad. I know when I was younger, I was crazy and bad. I took my anger out on you because I was mad at my dad. I apologize, even though now we can laugh. You're always there for me, mama. I appreciate that. Yeah, you've always had my back. You know you've always done your part. You've always been there from the start, so you're always in my heart. When my little sister died, our dad gave no help. Would have been all by yourself if not for Art and Sonia. Grandpa B and Grandma B, I feel so blessed to know ya. That's why I want to show ya the talent that you started. Believe I was a genius, even as a hardhead. Now I get recorded. The thing I wish for is my mother to retire. I wish I could afford it. For now, though, the love, yeah, it's better than money. I say that to some, sometimes they look at me funny. They just don't have what we have or have been where we've been. Whether it's good or it's bad, through the thick and the thin. Not too many women try to do what you did. I was a smart mouth, know-it-all rebellious kid. So if you have some regrets, just know I have some too. Let's leave the past in the past and let's start brand new.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily. But my enemies, you took care of me.
You look good in the bed, you made sure I was happy, not sad.
What you did for me, it was simply, not uneasily, but by any means, you took care of me.
And don't think I forgot, you're my number one fan, and my love don't stop.
Isn't that a great song? Mother to Mother. I mean, you just got to love that song. Every mother in America should buy that song. I love it. And how great for your mom that you wrote that song for her. I love it. So it's called My Number One Fan by M. Deuce. And, Michael, why don't you tell people how they can find you, get a hold of you, buy your music?
I have an album available on iTunes right now. It's called A Grown Man, Grown Game. And but to link with me on everything, the best is looneyproductions.com, L-O-O-N-Y, productions.com. And it will link you to everything I got.
And Micah, like me, is on Twitter. He's probably not on there as much as me because I'm a self-described Twitter addict. I have been trying to kind of narrow it down a little bit, though, not be on quite as much. But you can also find him on Twitter. You can go to looneyproductions.com and find out everything that's going on with him. So what's going on with you over the summer, M. Deuce? There's quite a bit going on with you.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just putting together all my shows right now. I was because of family reasons and health reasons, we haven't gone forward with a lot of performing right now. So right now I'm lining everything up around the city and across the country. And the one thing I'm working on now is putting a anti-bullying campaign together. My producer had come to me at one point and was like, you know, we really need to make a song about all this violence and what's going on around here because, you know, things have gotten out of hand. And, you know, we got a big voice, so it's only right that we say something. And so he made a beat. I picked it out and got to writing. And that's a big thing I'm working on now is just try to stop some of this violence and start an anti-bullying campaign with some of these schools around here and see how far I can get across the nation. But that's what I'm looking at this point.
Well, bullying is a problem. You know, it's been a problem way back from when I was in school. Back when I was in school and had to walk to school uphill both ways. You know, the schools kind of didn't want to get involved.
Right.
You know, they just kind of wanted the child to toughen up or defend themselves, or you know, they just didn't want to kind of get involved. And I'm not really sure anymore what the climate of the schools are, but it's been a problem that's gone on for years and years and years. And I think it is about time that something has got to change because
it has to.
You have to go to school. I mean, you know,
yeah,
you have
exactly.
to go to school. So you should be protected while you're in that school from, you know, from other children or any predators.
Yeah, you should be able to learn in peace. And, unfortunately, a lot of people don't have structure at home to teach them. And hopefully I can give a little light to some of those people that don't have it in their life, you know, because a lot of people don't. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's reality. And whatever I can do to help, you know, somebody get through their day or change their life, I'm all for it.
Well, we have another song of yours called Game Time. And why don't you tell me about Game Time? Because that's a pretty fun
game
song.
Game Time. That's right. That song there is my passion, basketball. It's Game Time, Bring Our Sonics Back. That's what that's all about. So I wrote that just for that. That specific reason, just to get a city a little bit behind them to, you know, get pumped up to bring this team. You know, big shout out to Chris Hansen, Sonics Gate, Brian Robinson, you know, for working so hard. Bring back our Sonics. I see you. Everybody out there, you, everyone that's promoting to bring these guys back, it's a passion for me. So I wrote that song. I was a ball boy for 6 years. So it was a big part of my life. And it just doesn't seem right, our city without a team. So whatever I can
do,
you know.
Well, it looks like it's going to be happening for us, you know, knock on wood. But
I think we're going to get a team. I think we're going to get them.
I think we will, too. Well, let's listen to Game Time by M. Deuce, and we will be right back in about 3 minutes.
All right.
Rebound, John Johnson, Sonic Babbitt, 7 seconds, 6, 5, 4, pass to Gus Williams, 3, 2, 1, and the Supersonics win their first ever NBA championship. The ball sails high in the air. Les Haberger does the Haberger hop. The Sonics are ecstatic. The horns are hooking around the Pacific Northwest. 10 seconds here to identify the stations of our Sonic basketball network.
It's game time. It's time to bring the Sonics back. Let's play ball. The reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the Rain Man. It's game time. It's time to bring the Sonics back. Let's play ball. The reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the Rain Man. Dropping tracks to put Seattle on the map. Grab the mic and flash till they bring the Sonics back. 2012, I'm on a whole new game plan. Since the tight, I've been tight with the Rain Man. I was a ball boy, Vickers staff led the team. Treated like a VIP, living every kid's dream. It makes me want to scream how Howard sold our team. Like it didn't mean a thing, he gave away our golden green. So many fans, so many teams. So many hands, so many screens. My hoop team was the color of the chronic. So raise your hydroponics in the honor of the Sonics. I hear them talking loud, and everybody's waiting big up to my partner Sean Kemp and Gary Payton, Nate McMillan, X-Men, Tom Chambers, Dale Ellis, late 80s, early 90s, real talk, then my fellas, it's game time, it's time to bring the Sonics back, let's play ball, the reason that I wrote this track, SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan, it's for the fans in the city of the Rain Man, it's game time, it's time to bring the Sonics back, let's play ball, the reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the Rain Man.
To the people in my town that lounge around the Puget Sound, I won't stop fighting for my team until the shit goes down. Like Freddie Brown, right now I'm downtown. Dynasty Boog screaming 206 real loud. And I'm real proud, living in the city by the sea. Only thing now, give us back our basketball team. Ever think how it was for those that were retired with their jerseys in the rafters for a team that's been expired? I do this for the fans before the players got respect. More money, more problems, and they all get big checks. They all got real families, and they all got real stress. Some represent the East, but see, we represent the West. Seattle is my city, and the Sonics, that's my team. M. Deuce, that is my title, and I'm repping golden green. Seattle is my city, and the Sonics, that's my team. M. Deuce, that is my title, and I'm repping golden green. It's game time, it's time to bring the Sonics back. Let's play ball, the reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the Rain Man. It's game time, it's time to bring the Sonics back. Let's play ball, the reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of
of the rain, man. Bring them home, they never should have let them go. That was cold when they took my green and gold. I still have hope that soon we'll have another team in the city of the rain, man. Yeah, I mean, bring them home, they never should have let them go. That was cold when they took my green and gold. I still have hope that soon we'll have another team in the city of the rain, man.
Play ball, the reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the rain, man. It's game time, it's time to bring the Sonics back. Let's play ball, the reason that I wrote this track. SOS, Save Our Sonics is the plan. It's for the fans in the city of the rain, man.
All right, you're listening to Micah Massey. He's known as M-Deuce, him and his partner, James Gregory Jr. They've been doing a lot of great things in Seattle. One of the great causes that they have decided to step out into the spotlight on is bullying. We're all aware of it. It's been around since my day. It's still around today. And they have a great song that that's actually going global on this about, and we're going to play that here at the end of the show so that you all can listen to that. But, Micah, so did you experience bullying yourself?
Yeah. Just let me correct you real quick. It's Micaiah. No biggie. Everybody gets it wrong.
No problem.
Yeah, it actually, like I said, I was born with a birth defect, so I had about 4,000 stitches all through my abdomen, and I actually have no belly button. So growing up was pretty tough, you know. Couldn't take my shirt off. If I did, I was looked at, mocked, you know. So it became a big part of being different, as you would say. So, you know, my thing when I grew up was, you know, people that are different, that are really not, because it's really what's inside. But, you know, just to help some of those people out and get through a day is so important to me, because I know how much it meant to me as a child. So that's my vision, is just to help people.
Well, and now you have children of your own?
Oh, yeah. I've got two daughters of my own, 13 and 9. And unfortunately, they haven't come to me with too many bullying problems, because, you know, I've taught them to be leaders and help out the people that get bullied. So that's their mission in school. But I haven't had too many problems with them, but I'm sure it's coming, and I'm sure that it happens. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, because I haven't heard about it. But, you know, I figure if you instill them young, you know, and that's what parents need to do, is kids lead by example. So, you know, if you teach them right, they're going to do right. They're not born evil, they're taught evil.
Exactly. Now, have you been asked to speak in any of the schools on this subject at all?
I actually have talked to several schools, and they're waiting. Actually, I'm waiting for, I haven't even released this song, which is, this is the first time to be played right here. So I have a video for this song that will actually be wrapped up today after I'm done talking to you. I have a video shoot at 4:00, but once that's done, I've got several schools and churches around the area that are just waiting for my plan, and with my people, you know, we want to go ahead and crusade the city and see what we can do.
Well, it's a fantastic plan, and like I said, Micaiah and M-Deuce and James Gregory Jr., they are all working on a message through music, hip-hop with a heart. I encourage everybody to follow them at looneyproductions.com and support this fantastic effort that they're trying to do with their music, through bullying, and then, of course, you know, there's a great message they have for moms. It's you don't hear positive messages all the time, especially in hip-hop.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to see hip-hop kind of taking on more of a social conscience now. Yes.
Well, I think that, you know, for me also, I had to grow up and realize how much my, you know, my words meant. You know, when my kids started getting older and I caught them in the backseat repeating every single word that I say, you know, I had to think and say, you know, what direction am I going? And what am I here to do? I'm here to help people change their mind for the good, not for the bad, you know. So that's what it is. And that's what I hope to do.
Well, one step at a time. It just takes,
exactly.
You know, it takes one person and then another person and another person. Before you know it, you start building a human chain of kindness. And, you know, together, maybe we can make a difference.
All right. Well, we're teammates now, so let's go.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on, Micaiah, and I did call you Micah, but when you're old like me, you could get away with all that stuff. We just, you know,
hey, no problem.
Do whatever we want when we get old.
Hey, I love you either way. It's no problem. I appreciate it, Lori. I really do. God bless.
God bless you, too. And we're going to go out today with Let Me Live by M. Deuce. And please, please support these guys. They're doing a great job, not only here in Seattle, but nationally and around the world. Thanks, Micaiah.
Thank you. 206 right. Music.
206. You got it. All right.
All right.
I'll talk to you on Twitter.
All right. Take care. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, what's happening? It's your boy M. Deuce. Here with Sima Deezy and my nephew.
Gotta stop the madness.
We put this one together for all those that have been bullied, been hurt in their life, brought down by somebody else. This message is for the bullies and all those people that hurt.
Things you say to me, what you do to me, positivity, only get through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me, so let me be and let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid. All I wanna do is just live my life, so everything's alright when I think at night.
Growing up is the hardest part of life. When you care what people think and words cut you like a knife. Taking pieces of your soul, take the shine from your glow. When the negative approach, it breaks you down a little more. It's time we scream no, these bullies gotta go. Little girls of my own, so that's all that daddy knows. No kids should have to be teased when they go to school, because they look different or might have some different shoes. We need to realize the heart and soul is all that matters, not whose pockets fatter or who climbs a corporate ladder. It's really how you add any value to the planet. Are you here to do some good or are you here to do some damage? Insecurities and jealousy breed envy. A bully has been hurt and they're really just pretending. I know deep down we all just want love. We all feel pain and we all need hugs, even thugs.
Say to me what you do to me. Positivity only gets through to me. You can't ruin me cause I'm doing me. So let me be and let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid.
For the kids that feel like they don't belong, I feel I'm one of you, that's why I really wrote this song. As a kid I thought God was mad and I got punished. Complicated birth defects, I don't have a belly button, but it doesn't matter what it is, we're all the same. If you're overweight, have no legs or even gay, like the drops of rain, if you really use your brain. We were made in God's image, that could be so many things. Most of us walk this path third eye blinded, pineal gland closed, not ready for enlightenment. The bad try to blind us, I'm here to remind us. Keep your mind open and to focus on the kindness. Think it while I write this. How many walk lifeless, believing dollar bills are worth more than human life is? That's so mindless, cause human life is priceless. Be good to each other, that's when happiness will find us.
Say to me, what you do to me. Positivity, only get through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me. So let me be and let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid. All I wanna do is just live my life, so everything's alright when I sleep at night.
Let's stop the names and the fist fights, let's get right. It's not about ice, but get what your wrist like. Instead of cracking books and learning something for the future,
we have to go to school to wonder if someone will shoot you.
It ain't right the way these kids are growing up, picking gangs over school with the sets of throwing up. But all they ever see, though, on how life goes, is get a click, pack some clips, and get some big dough. The next thing you know, they're starring in a big show. No name, just a number, cell block 4. This story's getting old, and the world is still cold. It's only getting colder, watching rain turn to snow. Hoping we can grow, stop worshiping the dough. The soul's the only thing to go when your casket's closed. And kids will repeat what they hear and what they're shown. So lead by example, and I'm talking to the grown.
Come on, world, it's time we wake up. We need to teach these children love and peace instead of war and hate. And then these material possessions don't mean a thing. It's about heart and soul. We have to realize kids are not born evil. They're just taught bad behavior.
So let's show them how to respect each other and the surroundings. It starts at home, so lead by example. M. Deuce repping G.O.D., God over dollars.
Say to me, what you do to me? Positivity, only get through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me. So let me be, let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid.
All right, well, that was Micaiah Massey, known as M. Deuce, and I encourage everybody to help him in his anti-bullying campaign that he's doing. Right now I have one of my favorite Seattle bands on, so I'm really going to try not to screw up this interview and just act like a teenage girl the whole time, but I love these guys, and I'm hoping that you will love them too. They've been together since 2008. They are Meal Frog. You can find them at mealfrog, mealfrog.com. They're really a great-looking group of guys. And then their hearts match, their inside matches their outside. You know, to me, they're just a beautiful group. It's made up of six members: Jason Remes, Casey Beaver, Brandon Barrett, Chad Hofflin, Chris Jenkins, Ryan Peterson, and Jason, he's the lead singer, is with us today. So I'm really, really happy to have them on. And thank you, Jason, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Lori. We really do appreciate it.
Well, I first heard about you guys through your video, the Love video. Can you kind of just tell people about that? And I encourage people to go to YouTube and check that out because, again, that's another video that was shot in Seattle that just had some great Seattle scenery on it, and that has a wonderful message as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Love was one of those songs that, you know, like many of the songs that we've I guess, written over the past few years, that really just kind of fell out and, you know, started as, you know, more the music being written. Then I just came over with the lyrics and just sang, you know, whatever came to heart at that time or whatever I was feeling. And it just kept repeating that Love line. And wrote the rest of the song lyrically just kind of around that and around, you know, what I believe, and I can probably speak for the band, what they would agree on is that, you know, what we just need more of, just in the world and you know, in Seattle and generally. And I think it's been showing a lot in Seattle especially. You can really see that as a city we've really come together. There's a lot of great things happening here, especially within the last, you know, year and a half, if not more, but with you know, just social issues, the legalization of gay marriage, and you know, there's just a lot of support for everyone in Seattle is, you know, coming together and banding together, and I think Love is you know, came out right around a perfect time for that, because we're you know, certainly in support of that, and I think you can see it.
Definitely, it has a great message. It was perfectly timed. I hope more people get to get out and see that and hear that as well. You know, I was just talking with Micaiah in the last half hour about the energy that I feel in Seattle, and I really hope that energy can be spread really across the country, and, you know, of course, what we all hope is around the world. There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world today. It always gets the focus, all the negativity, but there's so much positivity going on in the world, and I can really feel it here in the Seattle area. And I think that's being expressed through the music that's coming out of Seattle, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's such a wonderful place to be right now, seeing everything that's happening. We've got, like you said, a lot of energy. You know, there's a lot of local bands, not just us, but just in general, that are making great music right now. And you can really tell that there's just a collective feeling here of moving forward and creating that positive energy. And, you know, we've got the Seahawks that are looking incredible. We've got the Supersonics that might come back. You've got Macklemore, who's in Rolling Stones and, you know, topping the charts. Alan Stone, and I mean, just so much positive energy coming out of Seattle, and it's all, I think, very much because of the reason that we're all doing it together and we're banding together in this collective positive energy, and that's what we've really tried to do with our music and just bringing people together and you know, getting it back to that state where Seattle was just, I guess, really emulating that that vision and pushing forward and really pioneering that move.
And the Mariners won last night. They opened and won last
night.
They did,
yeah.
It just gets better and better.
Yep, exactly.
How would you describe your music, Jason?
That's always a tough one. you know, because we are so, we come from different musical backgrounds. You know, it and you can tell because it's a mix of that grunge feel, but also this reggae feel and funk and jam band and folk. And it really meshes well all together into this really great collective sound that we've been working on. And we try and, you know, switch it up all the time too. You know, not just sticking to one variation of music, but, you know, having other people in the band write songs and not just coming from one person in particular. We all work together to create this music and put in our own ideas and our own influences. So it's really, really tough to even come up with an actual just description of our music, whether it be rock or reggae or funk or soul or whatnot, because we do try and mix it up.
Well, I'm going to let everyone listen to Love, and we will be right back with Jason from Mule Frog in just a moment, but I want you to hear what I've been listening to. This is just a fantastic song called Love, and we will be back in about 3 minutes.
Could you believe in love?
Here in Seattle. I'm hoping that everybody can get out and hear them over the summer. If you're coming to Seattle, we'll get some dates for you where they're going to be. They'll probably be playing outside of Seattle, too. You can find out more information at milfrog.com. I do want to say I took a few phone calls while we were listening to that song, Love. I appreciate everybody calling in. I do want to say, M. Deuce, your sister Ramona called from Texas. And she wasn't able to get through while you were on, but she said you did a fantastic job, and she's very proud of you. So we'll pass that on. In fact, we had about 3 calls from Texas over that break. So you never know where people are listening from, but we certainly appreciate everybody listening. Okay, Jason, so that was Love that we were listening to, one of my personal favorite songs. Where are you guys going to be playing live so we can come out and listen to you?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So we've got quite a bit coming up over the summer, some shows that haven't been announced yet that we're kind of holding off on. But one of the biggest ones that we're playing and we're really excited about is on June 21st. We are playing headlining actually the Crocodile there in Seattle, and that's one of our favorite shows to play. I think played there maybe about 4 times already, and it's just a wonderful establishment. And in fact, I was reading the Rolling Stone, the newest issue, and they, I think, ranked at number 7 in the United States for smaller clubs to go see live acts at. And they've always got great talent there. So we're really excited for that one. That's a big show for us, and that's on June 21st at the Crocodile. Outside of that, though, we've applied to a lot of different festivals. So we play in a lot of those over the summer, some of the bigger ones. And then also just around the Seattle area at various different locations that we're still kind of in the works on booking. But I'd say the Crocodile is probably the biggest show that we have coming up here at the beginning of the summer.
Well, in Seattle, the Crocodile is a fantastic venue. It's a great venue to play at, and I'm sure that will sell out very quickly. I definitely want to get over to that show on the 21st. It's going to be a great show. I already know it's going to be a great show. I don't even have to know any more about it because I'm such a great fan. But
we're excited.
People are texting me and they're wanting to know how you came up with the name Meal Frog for the name of your group.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one I struggle with whether or not I like to tell people or not. I always do, but it's sometimes fun to keep that a mystery and let people figure that one out on their own or make up their own stories. But maybe we'll do a contest of who can come up with the best story about how that came to be. But the real way Meal Frog came to be, I was on a road trip before we even started the band with one of my good friends, Kurt Berryman, and we had drove out to Lollapalooza in Chicago from Seattle here, and so we were on a long road trip and spent a long day in the car, about 16 hours, and finally parked it there under Mount Rushmore and set up camp, and we were just exhausted. We're drinking a few beers, and he was asking me, because I was actually adopted from South America. I was born in Colombia, in Cali, Colombia, and he was asking me what my original name was when I was born. And you have to know Kurt a little bit too. He's a goofy guy, and he asked me what my name was, and I said, oh, it was Miguel Fardo, and we were quiet for a few minutes, and then he comes back and he goes Meal Frog, your name was Meal Frog, and I looked at him confused. I said, no, not even close. But that's a killer name for a band. And so a few years later when we started the band, it just kind of made sense to name it Meal Frog. So that's where it came to be.
Well, you probably don't have to really compete with other bands trying to take your name.
No, we do compete with some frog leg recipes. If you look up Meal Frog online, we do compete with some of the recipes out there for different frog dishes. We are not a supporter of cooking frogs, but it is pretty funny that there is I don't think any other band out there called Meal Frog, but if there is, then we should have a Meal Frog off and play with them. And if not them, we still to this day would like to challenge Hootie and the Blowfish to have a Hootie and the Blowfish
there you go.
Meal Frog
concert. Who does the artwork for your logo?
So, you know, we did the logo ourselves, some of the artwork from the covers and other various posters that we've made up over the years. We have a few of our friends that usually, you know, help out. I'm trying to think who did our last one, but I believe it was Dan Carnahan, or I think that was the person that did. I'm not sure. I'd have to look back at that. But Casey Beaver also has a lot to do with that, and he's done, you know, primarily a lot of the posters, a lot of the artwork, you know, we have different variations of it from some other fans as well, but Casey Beaver is actually responsible for a lot of that as well.
Well, they do a good job. It's very memorable. It's really catchy. And by looking at you guys, you wouldn't think your name would be Mill Frog, but it
yeah.
sticks in
yeah.
your head, and it's really easy to remember.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to forget that one. You know, it's definitely a struggle sometimes. People don't know how to pronounce it, and they always give you the confused look. Like, did you say Meal Frog? And then we have to explain the story, but it's a good conversation starter.
And then I've also Ryan had sent me something over saying that you guys want to be the first band to play on the moon.
Yes, that is our goal.
See, that's a very realistic goal. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like with modern technology, we should be able to make that happen.
I think you're on to something. I will stand in line. I will buy the first ticket.
Absolutely, you can come with us.
Wouldn't that be something? You would think by now we would be like having trips back and forth to the moon, but no such luck.
Yep, not yet. But maybe if we keep pushing further, we'll end up there, and everyone's invited.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your bandmates? Tell us about Casey.
So yeah, well, I guess the full story behind our band is really quite interesting. You know, Casey was actually the last member to join us, and me and Ryan actually had kind of started the whole idea when we went over to Hawaii for the Kakua Festival and to go see Jack Johnson and Paul Suga and Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds were all playing over there and a few other bands. But we'd gone over there and brought our guitars and just kind of started, you know, jamming along on the beach. And, you know, after that trip, it was really inspiring, and we decided to come back and try and start a band. And a few of us actually went to Washington State University together. So, and we knew of each other. We weren't all friends at that time, but, you know, we had known of each other. And so me and Ryan went over to play just an acoustic show in the backyard of one of the houses over there in Pullman. And CJ walked in, and we handed him a bongo drum. He had never actually played drums before in his life of any kind. And so I handed him my djembe, and he played with us during that. And then when he graduated and moved back over to Seattle, we just kept him as our drummer. And he had never played drums in his life. So, and that's kind of, you'll learn a consistent pattern for our band is that, you know, we had CJ come in with the drums, who had never played drums before. You know, I'd been playing solo for quite a while, and you know, Ryan had been playing guitar for a little while, so we had a little bit of experience, and I ended up moving into a house, too, over here in Seattle around the same time that we started the band with a good friend from high school who turned out that he played bass, and that was Chad. And so we had him obviously come in and join us playing bass, but he had never really played in a band before, just kind of fiddled around with it. So, you know, it was a learning process for him as well, and really all of us at that time. And then Brandon Barrett was just good friends with us as well. He played guitar. So, you know, it's always been a point for me to really invite people up to play music. You know, music's always something to be shared. And so when I was starting the band, you know, it didn't really matter to me if they had played the instrument before or if they were just learning. You know, we were all new to this whole scene, and then later on down the road, Casey, who actually had probably the most experience playing the guitar and playing in bands, and you know, being in that scene, ended up joining us later on, about a year into us playing. I think it was on Halloween night, maybe 2008, I think, or 2009, 2008, sometime around there. But he ended up joining us, and then we kind of had our full band. And it's been just a huge learning process for all of us because, you know, you had CJ, who had just been playing the djembe and starting to get pretty good at that, and then picked up a full drum kit. And, you know, everyone's really self-taught, and it's just been this really cool process of us all learning different skills throughout the last, you know, almost 5 years coming up now, to where we're really trying to perfect our spots, our instruments, and our talents. So we're still learning, obviously, a lot, and very excited that we're going back into the studio right now working on our next album, because it's going to be something that we've put a lot of time and effort into, and I think it'll show in the quality of the CD, in the quality of the album, and just every single little piece of it, from the guitars, the drums, the bass, all the way to, you know, the way the lyrics are written. It's just much more thought out. We put way more time into it, and we've learned a lot, so I think it's going to be incredible. Oh, and Ryan, who actually started playing the guitar with our band, he was a great story as well, because he moved down to San Diego, and when he moved back, he had picked up the ukulele and was taking lessons, and, you know, figured we had too many guitars, so he just decided to do something a little bit different, and that's how he ended up with the ukulele. And that was actually kind of right before the big ukulele phase came through and all the other bands are starting to use ukuleles, and, you know, I don't think it's attributed to us by any means, but it was kind of cool that, you know, he had decided to do that, and then it became just a big part of the music scene as well.
Well, Ryan's just a great guy. I've had the opportunity to talk with Ryan quite a bit. I'm preparing for this show, and, you know, I'm getting to know your music. And he's just a very nice, nice person. And he plays the ukulele. That's just an extra benefit. I'm a big ukulele fan as well. You know, the ukulele is underrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and we try and highlight that as much as possible with him being on stage. And, you know, at times I think we sometimes, you know, we'll drown him out because of the loud music that we're playing on our instruments. But we're really trying to put a focus point on Ryan's ukulele and bring more of that out, because it is incredible and it's really fun to have out there with us.
Well, it's just a fantastic group of just nice guys trying to do nice, put a nice message out there of kindness and compassion towards their fellow human beings. Just another great band and a group of people to support. And it's just another plus that they come out of Seattle. We're going to go out today, Jason, with Hey Girl. You want to tell me a little bit about this song?
Yeah, so Hey Girl was one that, you know, this one really was pretty easy. It just, you know, again, came up with the music, and then it just kind of came out lyrically. I just kind of made it up as I went. It was a pretty easy song to write, to be honest. It didn't take a lot of creativity on that one, on at least the lyrics part. You know, it just seemed like that kind of, you know, I wouldn't say dance club, but like type of song that you can listen to, get into, and just makes you want to say like a hey girl type of thing. And it just kind of painted a picture immediately into my head about what that song could entail. And so we went that direction with it. But it was a fun one to write and a fun one to record. And we're very proud of it. And our music video that we recorded, you can catch on YouTube as well. Or actually, you know, you can catch it on YouTube, on our Facebook page, Twitter, any of those, and on our website as well, that we're actually working on right now. We should have a new one coming out here, hopefully in the near future. But as of right now, you can check us out on mulefrog.com or look us up on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and check out that video. Because I think on YouTube, we just recently, last week, went above 10,000 views, which we were really excited about.
That is a lot. Especially, you know, on YouTube, you'll see a lot of videos that only have maybe 300 hits or 200 hits or 100 and something hits. When you start seeing them with those big, you know, in the thousands, you know, it's, you know, you're doing something right.
Exactly. Yeah, we were very proud of that one, and went out celebrating on Friday and played at the High Dive, and which was a great show. A lot of people came out to that here in Seattle. It's in the Fremont area, and in a great little venue, and we packed the place in and just had a really good time celebrating that that 10,000 views.
We have a very loyal following, and I can completely see why. Just a great group of guys. It's really been a pleasure to have you on. I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time, and working with Ryan on it, and it's just been a complete pleasure. And I'm happy to share your music.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on. I can't thank you enough to you and to all our fans and friends and family. You know, it has been a collective supportive effort getting us to where we are now, and you know, we're going to continue pushing forward, and it's, you know, times like this and shows like yours that they really help us get there. And so thank you so much again for having us.
Well, tell all the guys hi, and I will be there on June 21st. And again, I'll buy the first ticket to the show on the moon. And I just wish you all of the best of success.
Okay. Thank you so much again. And we look forward to hopefully coming back on the show again.
Sounds good. Anytime, open invitation.
All right, wonderful. Well, have a great day, and okay. And we'll see you on June 21st.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Jason.
All right, thank you. Take care.
All right, that was Jason. He's the lead singer for the group Mealfrog. Again, you can catch them at mealfrog.com. It's M-E-A-L-F-R-O-U-G. How much simpler can it be? Four letters.com, mealfrog.com. And if you're in the Seattle area on June 21st, I encourage you to go to the Crocodile and check them out. And I will be there for sure. It's going to be a great show. And again, I will also want to thank M. Deuce for coming on. And we want to definitely support his anti-bullying campaign, not only in Seattle, but across the nation. When we come back, we're going to have the Pike Place Fish Guys. If you've been in Seattle at all, you know about the Pike Place Fish Guys. Those are the ones slinging those fish and catching them and selling fish and talking fish, and they know everything there is to know about fish. In fact, I have their cookbook in the kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys. It's one of the best cookbooks I've ever seen, because the recipes are very simple. I'm not a cook. So the recipes are very, very simple. They don't have a lot of ingredients, and it tells you what's best with fish and what fish to use and why you should have, you know, this type of fish over another type of fish. And it's a very interesting cookbook, and I was very hungry after reading it. So we're going to go and come back with the Pike Place Fish Guys, but you're going to be listening to Hey Girl by Mealfrog in the meantime. We will be right back. right. That was Hey Girl from Mill Frog. And I also wanted to say that Imdu's mother called in, and she heard the interview. And, of course, she's just very excited and proud of her son, as we all are here in the Seattle area. We had a lot of calls coming in today. I'm sorry if I can't take everybody's call. I'm working solo today. I certainly appreciate everybody calling in, and I really encourage everybody to get on the bandwagon and support what's going on here in Seattle. Another great thing that's going on in Seattle is the Pike Place Fish Guys. You've probably seen them. They've been on everything, and I'm so thrilled to have Anders on with me today. They have a fantastic cookbook that's come out. I even kind of hesitate to call it a cookbook because it's so much more, but it's called In the Kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys, and Anders is here. I was just down at the market last week and met with a lot of the guys. I'm going to be there again next week. I'm going to take my little cookbook back, and I'm going to have it autographed by them. They are just the nicest, nicest people. You're probably tired of me saying how nice everybody is, but this show is all about exposing nice people, and the Pike Place Fish Guys, nice guys, and happy to have Anders with me today. Thanks, Anders, for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we try hard to be nice.
Well, you guys succeed. And this is what I really liked about this book that you guys just put out. And I know it's a cookbook. I kind of hesitate to call it that because it's so much more than a cookbook. But you talk about what's going on down at Pike Market and the flavor of everything that's going down on there, which I 100% agree on. And where you're talking about the buskers, so you have the music playing, and you have you guys with the fish, and you have this atmosphere of just being inclusive with everybody, and you guys just don't meet a stranger over there where you guys are working. You're just so open and friendly to everybody walking by. It's just like you just never have a bad day.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad that you noticed that about the book, because that was definitely an intention for the book, is to have it be all about the community of Pike Place Fish, and not just, you know, it would have been really easy to slap together a collection of recipes and put our name on it and people would buy it, but I feel like we would be selling people short. We've been working on it for a really long time and making sure that it everything came through in the book.
Yeah, it does, because when you're down at the market, it's like its own little environment, ecosystem, corner of the world. You have people selling flowers. You have the farmers coming in with their vegetables. You have you guys with your fresh fish. You have the buskers, which are musicians, real musicians down there playing. They are licensed by Pike Place Market to come in and play. You have the first Starbucks down there. There's so much going on, and then you have all the tourists and all the locals mixed together, and it's almost like a giant street fair every day.
It really is. I know Ryan from the fish market calls it Sesame Street. it kind of is, you know, and it's our whole little community down there, and just all kinds of crazy things happening every single day, but it's just so fun to be down there and be a part of it.
Well, another thing that I liked about your recipes is that they're not real complicated, and it's very self-explanatory. You guys lay it all out very easily for people to understand, not a lot of ingredients. So you don't have to be a world-class chef to prepare good seafood at home.
Exactly. I feel like that's not always the case with a lot of cookbooks, especially seafood cookbooks. And we've found through our work down there that there's a lot of fear and just unknown about cooking seafood for a lot of people. So we wanted to put out a book that was really approachable. And like you said, you know, you don't need 20 different ingredients to make a recipe. And you know, there's a lot of education in there telling you just from starting, how do you shop for fish, what to look for, how do you store your fish once you get it home, and just kind of trying to demystify the whole thing.
Well, fish can be scary. Now, I've never been poisoned by fish, ever. I've never had food poisoning from fish, but it's always in the back of my mind, you know, am I going to overcook it and make it rubbery because I'm too afraid of undercooking it? But you say we don't have to be afraid of that.
No, there's a whole section in there that's all, it's called In the Raw, and it's all about, you know, because people go, I don't know how to cook this. If you, basically, some of the recipes in the raw section, if you have a knife and you know how to chop stuff, then you can make it. You know, there's no cooking necessary.
Well, you really break it down into all seafoods. You talk about oysters and mussels and clams, and that's something I had zero familiarity with. You know, if we go out to eat, that's what I get. I would never think about doing that at home. And it looks easy enough. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's easy, and it's really inexpensive, too. You know, that's another a lot of people think that it's really expensive to have a seafood dinner, but you literally could get a pound of clams for like $6, get some pasta, you know, and you could whip up a meal for four or five people for less than $10. So we put a little section in there about some, you know, some inexpensive cuts of fish and some cool little sections in there like Rector's Requires, which is Ryan Rector, what he says you should always have in your pantry if you're going to be cooking seafoods. There's Rector's Required, and Jake's Just Gotta Have It. So they're kind of like little inside look into a couple fishmongers' pantries that cook all the time, that what they have on hand regularly.
Well, and you also break it down. You can actually have seafood at breakfast. You have appetizers. You have lunches. You have dinner. So it's just not seafood for dinner, but it's, you know, all the way starting at breakfast.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was rough recipe testing, too, because we recipe tested for 6 months. We do it every Monday for, you know, get together for 4 or 5 hours, myself and Brian and Leslie, and we would pick, like, okay, today's the breakfast day, and by the time of those 5 hours are done, you like, could not eat another egg.
I bet. Well, the name of the cookbook is called In the Kitchen with Pike Place Fish Guys. 100 recipes and tips, and that is really something that I want to emphasize is the tips, because it's really great tips, and also you get a flavor of what's going on with each of the individual guys and what's going on at the market, and it's really easy to read. It's not complicated. It's fun reading. It's fast reading. It's easy reading, and you talk
a
lot about sustainability. And there's great pictures in it. Yes. Oh, well, I love picture books. I'm not that smart, so picture books are right up my alley.
Well, the thing is, we get so many visitors every year, and you know, some of them travel with fish, and some of them don't want to travel with fish, or they're getting on a cruise ship. So we wanted to have it all in this book, have it be a nice souvenir so people can buy it and take it on the cruise ship and read it while they're out, and, you know, or go home and give it to somebody as a gift or open it up and remind them of their amazing trip to Seattle. So we really made sure and get Morgan just does a great job on the photographs in there.
Oh, it's really, really well done. In fact, I'm going to be giving this out as gifts. I hope no one in my family is listening. Well, if they're listening, you're going to be getting this book, because I just really have enjoyed reading it. So do you do a lot of business there at the market? I mean, are people coming in all the time and buying fish, or is it done online, or how does it really work? Because there are so many tourists coming in, and like you said, a lot of them don't want to travel with fish.
Yeah, we have a good core group of regular customers that, I mean, we have people that have been shopping there for like 30 plus years. A lot of people that live downtown in condos or work downtown. We get a lot of business people that are leaving town. They check out of the hotel and they come down. That's kind of, people always go, do people actually buy fish at 7 a.m.? And they really do. They come down, we box it up, and they take it on the airplane. So, yeah, we definitely do. We do tons of business over the counter. You know, the website's always going. We ship a lot all over the country. You know, we ship a lot to the East Coast, believe it or not, even though they've got their own seafood out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
well,
so it's kind of a mix, you know. I'd say we get definitely supported by the regular customers, the locals. That's what gets us through the winter. And then you know, the web business is strong all the time. And then we've got, you know, clearly you've been down there in the summertime. It's a zoo
mm-hmm.
down there in the summertime. And a lot
it
of people
is.
Do buy fish in the summer, too.
Definitely. Well, you guys have that whole show that goes on with you throwing the fish, and, of course, that's, you know, really put you guys on the map and distinguish you from you know, just the, this the norm. And how often do you do that, or is it only certain times of the day that we can see you throwing fish, or how does the whole throwing fish thing work?
No, it's pretty much all day. I mean, the way to see it happen for sure is to come up and buy a fish, because that's kind of – that's how the thing started originally, because all the fish are out on the benches, out in the front, and to weigh them up and cut them and process them and all that, you got to get them to the back. So they used to walk them around, and then one day a guy was grabbing a pound of clams, and he was actually counting his steps as he was doing it, and he went, oh, my God, 25 steps for a pound of clams. So he just chucked them, and he yelled out the order, and everyone repeated it, and he chucked it, and it was fun and created energy, and then it just kind of started to build from there to the point where now we buy fish just for throwing. We buy chum salmon, we throw them, and then we donate them to the Woodland Park Zoo so the bears can eat them.
Yeah, that was another thing you talked about in the book is being able to donate those fish to the zoo when you're done throwing them, which I thought was just, you know, another great way of giving back. A lot of people now are coming down, though, to see you guys. You guys are becoming the stars. You've been on this great book tour. Tahoe is in a commercial right now for, what is it, Advil.
Yeah.
And that's actually taking place right down there. So you guys
are
kind of becoming.
We use plenty of that down there. That definitely comes with the territory. You see all the fun part. It is definitely fun, but, you know, we work really hard, long days, physical labor, so the Advil thing isn't a joke. We actually are regular.
Well, because you guys really are fishmongers, really. I mean, you're down there working, you're bringing in the fish, you got to put them on ice. I mean, there's work involved. It's not just the show part, quote-unquote. You guys are working. You're a working business.
Absolutely, but we just, you know, no matter what we're doing, whether you're putting the fish away or making a cardboard box in the back, you know, we just try to make it fun and support each other and make it a good environment and include the people that come down, because that's, you know, that's why people love to hang out with us, is because we include them. We don't just, you know, it's not like a bunch of guys having fun and ignoring the other people. We actually invite you into our family down there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know that. You were down there.
People. People taking pictures, people taking videos. There was hugging, a lot of hugging going on. I mean, it was very festive. It was just everybody was just happy, and there was joking and laughter, and it was fantastic. I hated to leave. I had to move on, and glad you guys worked. But I could have stayed all day. I could have stayed all day and become a fishmonger myself.
We actually have people, a lot of business people that take. We do some workshops and things like that so that people can kind of tap into some of the principles we're doing at work. We do a 3-day course, and on the third day, they actually come down and set up the fish market with us. So that's, you know, we have people out in corporate America that are, you know, want to bring the energy back to their business, and they'll actually come down and help us set up the fish market. And we get to kind of show them the ropes, and they get to see what it's like to be on the team and pull it together and pull off a goal, you know, because we have a goal of being set up by 8 o'clock every day. And so we huddle up, talk about what it's going to take to get the day done and go for it.
Well, that is really good to know. And I bet people will take you, well, more people probably take you, probably have a waiting list of people. One thing that I liked about the cookbook is that you had actually gone to other chefs in the area, too, and got their recipes and included those. Matt's, what I found out when I read the book was I didn't know that Matt from Matt's of the Market had actually used to be a fishmonger at Pike, and I eat at Matt's when I go to Pike every now and then. Sometimes I can't get in, but because he's very popular, but it's such a small world.
Yeah, it's crazy. Dan Buggy, who owns it now, he's the one that got me a job at the fish market in 2000. And I was kind of just bumming around camping and having a good time, and then I needed a job, so I was just going to go do it for the summer. And he's, you know, I was friends with him before. We worked at a previous job, and he actually got me the job and taught me a lot about the job, and then he moved on to Matt. So we, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we want the book to be about the whole community that makes up Pike Place Fish. So we included you know, the restaurants and chefs that buy fish from us, and like Penn Cove Shellfish is a really big part of our operation, and they're, you know, so we've got recipes from them, and they deliver all our shellfish, and they were awesome. They let us come out there and do a tour and harvest mussels, and they were just very gracious about having us out there. So a lot of those outdoor pictures are actually taken out, like, on the rafts at Penn Cove Shellfish. That was kind of fun.
Definitely, and it's just such a fun book. People can buy it right there at the market. They can come right down to Pike Place Fish, and you guys were signing them. While I was there, people were buying them, and you guys were signing them. You can go to Amazon. You guys were ranked really high on Amazon. I haven't looked in the last couple of days, but your book was doing very well on Amazon. And then I think they can go to your website and find it as well. But it's really easy to find In the Kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys. So on Amazon, you can, if you're lucky enough to go to Pike Place Market and see this, it's, you can buy the book there and they'll autograph it for you. And it's just they're just a great group of guys. Anders, I wanted to talk to you for a minute. I've had some questions come in about sustainability, and you talk a lot about that in the book. And if you can just kind of maybe quickly address, like, what sustainability is and what you guys are doing down there, because it's a fantastic effort that's going on.
Well, the short version is we're making sure that our kids are going to be able to eat fish, you know, so it's not going to be like, mm-hmm. oh, you got to tell these stories about what a salmon was, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. a lot of the fisheries are not in very good shape, so we took a stand as a team in 2011 to become sustainable, and you know, to us that means just being responsible for where you're harvesting your fish from. So we actually, you know, we didn't really know how to go about it, because we have been doing business a certain way a long time, and it was kind of a scary big leap of faith. But we had great mentors. We got like a Hajime from Mashiko Sushi helped us, and we would just kind of bring in different people that were versed in sustainability. They'd come to our work meetings and kind of share and educate us, and we decided to partner with the Monterey Bay Sea Watch program. So we basically go, like, you've seen those little cards, the Sea Watch card, and they also have mm-hmm. an app, and it basically just tells you what type of fish you should be buying, what, you know, it's kind of a void list. And so we kind of partnered up with them, and we've been learning the ropes and following their guidelines. So basically, you know, if you buy fish at Pike Place Fish, then it's coming from healthy stocks, well-managed stocks of fish, you know, fisheries that are in good shape. So that's kind of it in a nutshell for us. So, you know, we started getting some letters about some of the fish we were carrying. Like, we used to carry wild steelhead, and it was really upsetting a lot of people. And so we went to a work meeting and just kind of had a conversation about it, and it opened up a bigger conversation about, you know, what are we doing in the world, because we're committed to peace and prosperity, but, you know, if you're getting upset letters about the kind of fish you're selling, then you're not really creating that. So that's kind of what brought the whole mm-hmm. thing up.
What is the most popular thing that you guys sell there? Is it salmon?
Yeah, people love salmon. Mm-hmm. King salmon, sockeye salmon, smoked salmon. We sell a lot of Dungeness crab too, but definitely people love the salmon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just had a question come in about scallops, and if scallops are okay to eat, deep water scallops, or I don't really know much about scallops, but maybe you do.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on where they're coming from, and you know, like we get them from the East Coast, from New England, and they are sustainable. You know, the best thing that people can do that have any questions, you know, because I mean, one type of fish can be okay from one spot and one catch method, and then another spot, it's not, you know, and there's different varieties. So the best thing to do, and we even talk about it in the book, is to, you know, download an app or get a Sea Watch card or something like that. The app, I think, is the best because they're updating all the time, and that way you can actually find out. You know, if you're buying the scallops or you're getting them in a restaurant, you should ask the server or your fishmonger, and they should be able to tell you where they're from, how they're caught, you know. And if they can't, then I'd recommend not getting them.
Right. Well, I definitely downloaded that app, that Sea Watch app, and it's also very user friendly. You just, you know, put in the type of fish, and it comes up, and it tells you, you know, if it's to avoid it or if it's, you know, it's a good recommendation or not. Very, very easy. And like you said, if you have a fish store or fishmonger that you go to, hopefully that they can, you know, give you that information. But if you don't have it, that, you know, there's an app for everything now.
Yeah, there's an app for that. We actually used that app a bunch when we were on the book tour. We were in New York having sushi, and we took a look at this menu in the sushi spot, and we're like, ooh, bluefin, not good. And we started looking through there, and the app came in handy for us, you know, because it's important to me, even if I'm out eating in a restaurant, you know what I mean? It's not just something I do.
Definitely.
I don't just sell sustainable fish, and then I go home and and eat all the bad stuff, you know what I mean?
Right. No, you know,
it's not an act.
You want to put, no, it's definitely not an act. And, you know, once you know that, then you want to be committed to eating good fish, because the rest kind of just is, you know, it kind of repels you. You know, you're like, oh, I don't want to eat that. You know, in
exactly.
fact, when I was reading the book and you were talking about kind of some things that maybe go on in fish. And with farm fish, you're like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to eat some
of
that.
Part of
that makes sense. Exactly.
Well, you know,
I'd rather have...
And we actually get a choice in it, too, which is cool. Is, you know, that's part of our hope is that we educate people and they start going, oh, wait, I get to make a difference by the choices of what I choose to buy. And you start getting enough people doing that, then things are really going to start to shift. Because right now it seems kind of backwards that you have to pay more for fish that are sustainable, you know what I mean? And it's just because people aren't educated and they don't know, and maybe some don't care. But once you start spreading the word and that becomes the norm, you know what I mean? It makes sense that it should be, you know, it should be less to be sustainable. That's what people should
Definitely.
Be doing.
Right. Just like you said, it should be the norm. Good food and healthy food should be normal, and you shouldn't have to actually go out and try to search it out to find
right.
good, healthy food. It should
yeah,
be the other
there.
Way around.
We're getting there a little bit.
That's right, little by little, where, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, so they say. So,
exactly.
Well, Anders, thank you, really, for coming on. I just really appreciate it. I'm just a huge fan in the kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys. They are a great, great group of guys. I just wish you nothing but success. I just
thank
had a fun time going down there. You guys are fun to watch. Just very nice and kind to everybody coming by. And like I said, I hate to call it a cookbook. There are recipes in it. The recipes are easy and fun. In fact, you have a whole section about bringing children into the act and having children help with the food and the cooking and making it a family preparation time. And so it's just, like I said, it's just easy and easy recipes, easy to understand, and easy to implement. And then fantastic pictures of the market and the Seattle scenery, and great, great tips for dealing with seafood.
Cool. I'm glad you like it so much. I'm going to bring that thing down next. On the 11th, you said you're coming down, right?
Yeah, you know, I have to be over at the Hard Rock. I'm over there quite often. They do a lot of Battle of the Bands things over, so I'm over there judging for them. Quite frequently, so I'm going to be over there again on the 11th, but that's not until 7:30, so I have time to kill. So I always kill my time down at the market because it's just I'm just a huge, huge fan of what's going on down there. I love the energy down there, love the buskers, I love what you guys are doing over at Pike Place Fish, and the flowers. You know, I always stop in at Starbucks or over at Living Color and get some coffee, and you know, it's just a great place to be. I encourage everybody, if you haven't ever been to Pike Place Market in Seattle, you really miss one of the wonders of the world. It's just a very great thing going on down there. Music, nice people, great coffee, great food, great seafood. It's a must.
I feel
be.
Very grateful to be down there. I still don't take it for granted after 13 years. I love being down there all the time, and it's always different. There's always some kind of magic going on.
That's true. There's always, you know, whether it's Christmas or, you know, summer or spring or something, there is always something going on. But you guys are part of that magic, that's for sure.
Cool. We like that.
All right. Well, I will see you on the 11th. I hope you sell lots of books. I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that people go to Amazon and or come right on down to Pike Place Fish and Pike Place Market. They're easy to find. They're right at the beginning of the market, just about. So. guys are going to have a great location.
We don't care where you get them. We'll sign them. Bring them down.
All right, Anders, tell all the guys hi, and I will see you on the 11th.
All right, have a good day.
All right, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
Well, it's just another great Seattle show. I just love exposing and introducing you to great things that are going on in Seattle. And of course, there's great things going on all around the United States and around the world. And we have a lot of people coming on with good things going on in Australia and Ireland and the UK and Texas and Florida and, you know, New York, all over the country. There are good things going on. They need to be highlighted. There's a lot of negativity. We get all that information all the time, but there's also a lot of great things going on with the youth, with the music, and again, with great things going on down at Pike Place Market. And I encourage everybody to get down there. It's a must-see experience to get down to Pike Place Market. There's just a great vibe and a great energy going on there. And then, again, the name of the book is In the Kitchen with the Pike Place Fish Guys. You get it on Amazon. I hate to call it a cookbook. There are great recipes in it, but there's fantastic tips and pictures. It's a really easy read. I'm not a reader. This was very, very easy to interpret and implement on. Like I said, a lot of these recipes just have four or five little ingredients, and I understood what each of them were, so it wasn't things that I could not understand. So it's a make a great book for you, or a great book for as a gift. So we are going to go out today. This is the end of our show, and let's go out with, I think I'm going to go out, M-Deuce's mother called, and I talked to her, and she was just, of course, very proud of her son, and I can completely understand why. He's just a nice guy. And I encourage you to check out everybody who was on our show today. Meal Frog, big fans of those guys, M-Deuce, and then the Pike Place Fish Guys. Let's go out with the anti-bullying song, Let Me Live, by M-Deuce. And certainly we support his efforts in anti-bullying. So have a good day, and thanks for listening to Northwest Prime, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, what's happening? It's your boy M. Deuce. Here with Sima Deezy and my nephew.
Gotta stop the madness.
We put this one together for all those that have been bullied, been hurt in their life, brought down by somebody else. This message is for the bullies and all those people that hurt.
Things you say to me, what you do to me, positivity, only get through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me, so let me be and let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid. All I wanna do is just live my life, so everything's alright.
Up is the hardest part of life. When you care what people think, and words cut you like a knife. Taking pieces of your soul, take the shine from your glow. When the negative approach, it breaks you down a little more. It's time we scream no, these bullies gotta go. Little girls of my own, so that's all that daddy knows. No kids should have to be teased when they go to school, because they look different or might have some different shoes. We need to realize the heart and soul is all that matters, not whose pockets fatter or who climbs a corporate ladder. It's really how you add any value to the planet. Are you here to do some good, or are you here to do some damage? Insecurities and jealousy breed envy. A bully has been hurt, and they're really just pretending. Right. I know deep down, we all just want love. Yeah. We all feel pain, and we all need hugs, even thugs.
Say to me, what you do to me? Positivity, only get through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me. So let me be, let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid.
This one's for the kids that feel like they don't belong. I feel I'm one of you, that's why I really wrote this song. As a kid, I thought God was mad and I got punished. Complicated birth defect, I don't have a belly button. But it doesn't matter what it is, we're all the same. If you're overweight, have no legs, or even gay. Like the drops of rain, if you really use your brain. We were made in God's image, that could be so many things. Most of us walk this path, third eye blinded. Pineal gland closed, not ready for enlightenment. The bad try to blind us, I'm here to remind us. Keep
keep your mind open and to focus on the kindness. Think it while I write this. How many walk lifeless, believing dollar bills are worth more than human life is? That's so mindless, cause human life is priceless. Be good to each other, that's when happiness will find us.
Ain't you scared of me? What you do to me? Positivity only gets through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me. So let me be, let me live my life. Can you please just let me live? All I wanna do is just be a kid. All I wanna do is just live my life. So everything's alright when I sleep at night.
Let's stop the names and the fist fights, let's get right. It's not about ice, but get what your wrist like. Instead of cracking books and learning something for the future,
we have to go to school to wonder if someone will shoot you.
It ain't right the way these kids are growing up, picking gangs over school with the sets of throwing up. But all they ever see, though, on how life goes, is get a click, pack some clips, and get some big dough. The next thing you know, they're starring in a big show. No name, just a number, cell block 4. This story's getting old, and the world is still cold. It's only getting colder, watching rain turn to snow. Hoping we can grow, stop worshiping the dough. The soul's the only thing to go when your casket's closed. And kids will repeat what they hear and what they're shown. So lead by example, and I'm talking to the grown.
Come on, world, it's time we wake up. We need to teach these children love and peace instead of war and hate. And then these material possessions don't mean a thing. It's about heart and soul. We had to realize kids are not born evil. They're just taught bad behavior. So let's show them how to respect each other and the surroundings. It starts at home, so lead by example. M. Deuce repping G.O.D., God over dollars.
Say to me, what you do to me? Positivity only gets through to me. You can't ruin me, cause I'm doing me. So let me be, let me live.